Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is September 1, 2014, or it is Elu 7, 2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, "A Yield Not to Temptation." Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. This victory will help you some other to win. But manfully onward, dark passions subdue. The cave of Yahshua will carry you through, as if it is to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, he will carry you through. Shun evil companion that language this day, your name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. He's thoughtful in earnest, kind-hearted and true, a giver to Yahshua. He'll carry you through, as the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, he will carry you through. To him that o'ercome, Yah giveth a crown. Through faith he shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. A giver to Yahshua, he'll carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, he will carry you through. Isaiah, the Gospel Prophet, Part 6, by the Emil Andres, and we're going to continue on where we left off from our last study. We're on page 35. First, we're going to defer to a prayer thought taken from Daniel. Chapter 9, it says that in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years, whereof the word of Yahweh came unto Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years and the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Yahweh Elohim to seek by the prayer and supplication with the fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto Yahweh my Elohim and made my confession and said, O Yahweh, the great and dreadful Elohim, keeping the covenant and mercy unto them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by the departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and unto all the people of the land. O Yahweh, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of the faces, as at this day, unto the men of Judah, and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near. and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. Okay, O Yahweh, unto us belongeth confusion of the face, unto our kings, unto our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Unto Yahweh Elohim belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of Yahweh Elohim to walk in his law, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of the Moses, the servant of the Elohim, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, of which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by the bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon the Jerusalem. And as it is written in the law of the Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Yahweh Elohim, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Yahweh watched upon the evil, and brought it upon us, for the Yahweh Elohim is righteous in all his works, which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Yahweh Elohim, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day. We have sinned, we have done wickedly, O Yahweh, according unto all thy righteousness. I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our father, Jerusalem, and thy people are become a reproach unto all that are about us. Now therefore, O our Elohim, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Yahshua's sake. O my Elohim, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolation, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, verily for thy great mercies. O Yahweh, hear, O Yahweh, forgive, O Yahweh, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my Elohim, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing and my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Yahweh my Elohim for the holy mountain of my Elohim. Yea, whilst I was speaking in the prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, for the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Okay, now, troublous times are upon us. And we'll read about that when we get through with this chapter. We just like two more verses. Daniel 9:26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of the abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Okay, end of chapter 9. Now, remember what we read here in verse 25. It says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That'd be 62 weeks and 7 weeks. That's 69 weeks. And the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous time. So in the 70th week, then, is going to be the restoring and the rebuilding of the sanctuary. Now, Yahshua came to his end in 27 A.D., and he was cut off in the midst of the week. In 31 A.D., he was 33 years old. He was cut off in 31 A.D. because of the time discrepancy at his birth. He was born in 4000 B.C. He started, the New Testament started with his birth in 4001 B.C., but because the Herod and his henchmen sought the child's life at his birth, an angel appeared unto Joseph and told him to take the mother and the child and turn aside and go down into Egypt until I send you word to return. And so Joseph and Mary and the child, Yahshua, went down into Egypt, and they tarried there for 3.5 years. Okay? So in the fourth year, 4004 B.C., as they labeled it, which is actually 4004 A.D., it was 4 A.D., is when the angel appeared back unto Joseph in Egypt and said, it's time now to go back into the land of Israel. And so Joseph took the child and came back into Israel. And he said he was impressed to turn aside and go down into Nazareth and there to abide until the time that Yahshua is to receive his ordination to start his ministry at the age of 30. So Joseph turned aside, went down into Egypt. He went down into Nazareth, right there by Bethlehem, and he abode there 26 years. That's where Yahshua lived for 26 years. He grew up right there in Nazareth. And the land of Israel knew it not. Only Joseph and his mother, Mary, was the only ones that was aware of who Yahshua really was. And yet Joseph and Mary had other children. They had sons. And they were told who Yahshua was, but they wasn't so sure about it all. But anyway, we know that Yahshua started his ministry at the age of 30, and his sign was when John the Baptist would die in prison by being beheaded by that evil king that's in charge of Jerusalem at the time. And Yahshua started his ministry, and the first thing he did was went into the temple and turned the tables over of the money changers. And he says, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. And he took a kettle of nine lies and he started the cleaning house. Started popping that whip. And he drove him out of the temple with authority. And they never bothered that place for the next 3.5 years. They didn't bother it. So that was the last half of the 70th week was fulfilled when I said that on the cross. And then Paul and the apostles took over. No, the disciples took over when I said that on the cross. But Paul wasn't one of them. So Yahshua put the 11 disciples in charge of the temple service for the next 3.5 years, and then Paul was raised up at the end of the 70th week, the last 3.5 weeks, the last half of that 70th week was a 3.5 year period from the crucifixion to 34 A.D. when Paul was raised up as an apostle to the Gentiles and was established as the 12th apostle with the 11. Okay. So now we're going to go ahead and read Daniel chapter 12 now, because it says that in verse 25 of Daniel 9, it says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Okay, we're in troublous times and that wall hasn't been built yet. And the Jews have great plans of building it over there. And they're going to start the sacrificial system again. Like so much, it's not going to be allowed. Yahweh is raising me up to be the scientific David that will see to his business of restoring and rebuilding the spiritual temple, as pointed out there in Peter. So in Daniel 12 it says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince for standing for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So you see, we have a mixed resurrection here in the 12th parabolic hour, and notice that we're in Daniel chapter 12 as well. We're dealing in all 12s now. Remember that Yahshua said in John 11:9, are there not 12 hours in the day? And he says, work while you have the light. And I'll quickly turn to it and read that. It says, Yahshua answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. So it's in the 12th hour. There's 12 hours in the 12th parabolic day. And we're in the 12th parabolic hour. We entered in 2002. I know that's a subject for the learning of everyone that hears this, and it has to be taught to them by the Elijah David, and it shows the prophecies and the parables and so forth, especially the parable of Matthew 20. I will teach you the parable of Matthew 20. And so therefore you will understand then how we arrive at the 12th parabolic hour when I teach you about the 5 groups of laborers who are brought to view in Matthew 20 at the 5 different intervals, at the early morning hour, the first hour of the day, and at the third hour, and then at the 6th and the 9th parabolic hour, and then at the 11th hour. You'll find all of those 5 intervals. You'll find that in Matthew 20, verse 1 through 6, pointed out. So now it says in Daniel 12, "And at that time shall Michael stand up," that's Yahshua, our Savior, "the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people." Okay, "and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." So we're going to have some people resurrected that are going to go to work here in this 12th parabolic hour, and they're going to turn many of people to righteousness, to salvation. So it says, and then it says, so some of those that are resurrected are they're never going to change. They're going to stay just like they were. When they went into the grave the first time, they were sinful. Their probation closed on a man, but they was resurrected the second time to show you that even if given a second chance, they won't turn to Yahshua and have salvation. So it shows you when probation closes on a person the first time, that even if you give him a second chance, it won't do him any good. He won't take it. There's nothing in Scripture that ever shows where a sinner that died a sinner, that lost his soul, that was resurrected again, and then that he reclaimed his soul by confession and repentance. There's no record. Daniel 12 is the only record of anything like this ever happening, of the resurrection of a mixed multitude. Those that were righteous to have salvation, and those that were unrighteous the first time when they went down to the grave, and given a second chance, they remain unrighteous. And so you can go read Ezekiel chapter 18 for confirmation on that type of situation. So anyway, it says in Daniel 12, "And thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even unto the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said unto the man clothed in the linen, which was upon the waters of the river, How long shall it be unto the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in the linen, which was upon the waters of the river, which when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my master, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the day of sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate sit up, there shall be 290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." Okay, folks, there's a lot there to be understood in Daniel 12. We are in Daniel 12 in this 12th parabolic hour. We have been since 2002 at the opening up of the 12th parabolic hour, the opening up of the seventh seal in Revelation 8. And so I want to say hi to my new friends that I met Best I can tell, his name is Rosales, Jr. And his, if I can read this, Paul Lano, Rosales. And I'd like to say hi to him, and he's listening to this here broadcast on the internet. And I'd like to say also hi to Emmanuel Soto. Met at Liberty Hill, Texas, at Methodist Church on August the 31st of 2014. So it says that as we go now to our regular study, we're dealing in Isaiah. The Gospel Prophet, written by M.L. Andreessen, a Seventh-day Adventist minister back in the 20s, actually in the turn of the century, and in 1900. He was a co-laborer with Taylor G. Bunch that wrote 40 Years in the Wilderness, and he was no doubt a co-laborer with Ellen G. White as well, the prophetess of the Adventist Church. So, folks, you're in for a treat. M.L. Andreessen wrote this tract, Isaiah the Gospel Prophet. He wrote 3 volumes, and rightfully so. Yahweh raised M.L. Andreessen up and gave him inspiration to do this and beat the heart of a Sabbath school teacher for the Adventists. Had access to this in the Sabbath School Quarterly of the Seventh-day Adventists in 1929, for they published these 3 little booklets in the Sabbath School Quarterly of 1929. And B.T. Hollis, with the inspiration from on high, interpreted this little booklet, these little 3 little booklets of M.L. Andreessen, and he showed where Isaiah 54 through 66, those 13 chapters, have to do with the end time and the judgment of the living, and to be fulfilled in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now. Okay, now the folks, the world's going to have to know this stuff. And Yahweh has prepared me to teach the world. I have started in 1970 my preparation. I've been with the kingdom ever since I joined the kingdom in 1970. And I'm in my 44th year of learning these things. And let me tell you something, folks. It took every bit of that time, 44 years, to learn what I need to know to teach the world, both Jew and Gentile that are hand to come, those that are preordained and called by Yahweh and his son's name, Yeshua. So, folks, be glad, because when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes upon all of Yahweh's people, they will be given understanding of all these things. It's taken me 44 years to understand. You will be able to understand it in moments. All you have to do is believe present truth, and don't worry about the past truths. Just believe the present truth, and thou shalt be saved, just from that alone. Okay, let us now go into our reading. We're on page 35 of Isaiah the Gospel Prophet by the M.L. Andreessen. It's volume 1. And for those of you that are listening along, you can have these books. You can actually buy these books all in one book. They have them on Amazon, and they have them on Amazon and eBay, I believe. So anyway, we'll continue now before we left off yesterday on track 5. We're on track 6 now, part 6. Here is a lesson for all. We are not to do merely what we are asked to do, that and no more. Rather, having accomplished our work, we are gladly to ask Yahweh, is there anything else I can do for thee? Blessed is the man that does not have to be told everything he must do. Twice blessed is the man who can find work to do, and having found it and done it, asks for more. He is a man after Elohim's own heart, Isaiah 9:2. For the Spirit of Yahweh is many-sided. It is not confined to any one activity. For the completely Spirit-filled man will have the fear of Yahweh in his heart, as well as knowledge, understanding, wisdom, counsel, and might. Let none, having one of these characteristics, think lightly of one having another. Isaiah 10:20. In that day, the day of Yahweh, note how often this phrase occurs. We are dealing with the present truth. Isaiah 11, 10, and 12. An ensign is a banner. Okay, now. An ensign is a banner. No, the correct explanation of what an ensign is that it is represented by a banner. An ensign is not a banner. An ensign is Yahshua, the branch, and his contemporary, antitypical David, Elijah, this antitypical Elijah, joined together represents the ensign. Now, in Psalms 60, I believe, it talks about a banner over them. In Psalm 60, verse 4, it says, Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. And that's the truth of the ensign. And that banner has on it the Star of David. And it has a lion insignia. It has a picture of a lion on this banner. And that represents the lion of the tribe of Judah, Yahshua. And the six-pointed star represents David, the Star of David. Okay. So now when you put the Star of David, representing the everlasting kingdom of David, with the lion of the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, Yahshua, being represented by the lion, then you have a banner that represents the ensign. So you see how we've come a long ways. We have to explain these things in truth. Just to telling you that an ensign is a banner, I'm not telling you anything. I'm not teaching you anything that you need to understand what truly an ensign is, and you need to understand this banner and why it is displayed. Because it's a banner that we put on a pole as we're marching throughout the land with a marching band. And this is that army pointed out in Joel chapter 2 and 3. There has not been an army like it. This is that same army that Yahshua and Yahweh makes as his battle axe down there in Jeremiah 51:19 prophecy. And so that ensign represents Yahshua sitting upon the throne of David and the temple of David here in Luke 1:32. And with antitypical David sitting with him in that temple, ruling contemporaneously over the world's kingdoms. You'll find all that error in Daniel 7 prophecy. Okay. We are dealing with the present truth, it says, Isaiah 11, 10, and 12. An ensign is represented by a banner. I'll put my words in there. For Yahshua is here spoken of as an ensign, a rallying point. Okay. So he's M.L. Andreessen's got that right. Yahshua is here spoken of as an ensign, a rallying point. In verse 12, Yahshua sets up an ensign to rally his people. In other words, he raises up this banner with the Star of David on it, because he's sitting in the throne of David, Luke 1:31 and 32. Okay, the enemies also have their banner, Psalm 74:7. They have done wickedly in the sanctuary. They have burned up all the synagogues of the Elohim in the land and said, let us destroy them together. Okay, they're in the process of doing that now. Destroying the synagogues in the land of Israel today. They destroyed Jonah's synagogue already. They destroyed Daniel's synagogue. They're destroying them. Okay. They're trying to destroy David's synagogue on the Temple Mount. The Arabs have already taken it over. Okay, so it says, now in the Antitype, what does it say in Ecclesiastes? What did Solomon say? He said, that which has been shall be again. There's no new thing under the sun. Okay. And now let's turn and read that. Now in Ecclesiastes 1:9, it says, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Okay, now in Ecclesiastes 3:15, it says that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and Yahweh requireth that which is past. Okay, so we're reading about some of that right here. Okay, so it says, the enemies also have their banner, Psalm 74:7. They have done wickedly in the sanctuary. They have burned up all the synagogues of Elohim in the land and said, let us destroy them together. When did they burn up all the synagogues in the land? When Sennacherib came down with 185,000 of his army, and he started in the north with the 10 tribes, and he came down and took all the cities of Judah in the south. Destroyed all their synagogues and everything. And then he says, Jerusalem's the last one left. And he sent word into Jerusalem for Hezekiah to give up Jerusalem, the king of Judah. That was ruling from Jerusalem. And he went before Yahweh and spread it out before Yahweh. And Isaiah went, was commanded to go back and tell Hezekiah that not one Arab will come into this temple, because Hezekiah was serving Yahweh and commanding Jerusalem to be worshippers of the true Yahweh. And he tore down all the altars and a veil and so forth. And so Yahweh honored that. And he said, not one Arab will come into this temple. Into Jerusalem. And sure enough, the next morning, 185,000 of Sennacherib's army was laying dead out there on the ground. 185,000. Sennacherib fled back into his stronghold. He fled back over the border and went back into the land of Babylon, where he had his temple called Dagon, and he went in there, and his two sons followed him in there and slew him right there in his temple. So, that shows you when Yahweh's in charge, he's going to do the same thing to Obama here one day. Okay. Verses 3 and 8. On the banner of the remnant is inscribed, here is the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua. Revelation 14:12. See Testimonies, Volume 7, page 150. Yahshua is our example. The determination of the Antichrist to carry out the rebellion to begin that he began in heaven will continue to work in the children of the disobedient. For the envy and hatred against those who obey the fourth commandment, but in our day it will be the envy and hatred against those who obey all of the sanctuary truth that has been restored. We're talking about what read to you earlier in Daniel 9:24-27, about the restoration of the temple in the 70th week. Well, we have an antitypical 70th week that we're going through right now. The envy and hatred against those who obey the fourth commandment will wax more and more bitter. But the people of the Elohim are not to hide their banner. Okay, so that banner that we have now is a banner of this instant. And so I've got to get busy and order me a banner. I call the ensign, representing the ensign. But the Star of David on it, I've got to have the Lion of the Tribe of Judah on it. They are not to ignore the commandments of the Yahweh, and in order to have an easy time, and go with the multitude to do evil. Testimony, Volume 1, page 230, by Ellen G. White. Verse 13, envy is no part of Christianity. Rather, we are told to rejoice in the prosperity of others. To vex is to provoke by the inflicting small irritation, to annoy, to irritate. It may be one of the small foxes, but it is a very annoying and unworthy one. Not having the courage to attack boldly, the child will resort to small vexations. Of such, beware. Now, as I just read to you, it says, Yahshua, the Messiah, is our example. For the termination of the Antichrist, Obama now, we can put a name on it, which is present right now and operating to carry out the rebellion that he began in heaven, will continue to work in the children of the disobedient. So, Lucifer's got his man in person, because Obama is an incarnation of Lucifer in the human flesh. And he's visibly carrying out the orders of Lucifer on a day-to-day basis. Okay, their envy and hatred against those who obey the fourth commandment will wax more and more bitter. But the people of Elohim are not to hide their banner. So as I was watching the news this morning, I'm looking at Obama right now on the screen, on the internet screen, on the monitor here. It shows a picture of him with a turban on his head like Yasser Arafat wore. And he looks so similar to Yasser Arafat. And so anyway, what the deal is that's exactly what he's representing. All the facets that Yasser Arafat represented. And you know, notice what happened to Yasser Arafat when they were through with him. When Yahweh was through with him, he plowed the ground for the Arab world, the disobedient ones. And so Obama is reaping the harvest from the ground that was plowed by Yasser Arafat, and the seed that was planted with him. Now Obama is reaping the harvest of it, and he's using this harvest to try to destroy the good seed that the parable of Matthew 13 talks about, 45 to 47, where the good seed was sowed by Yahweh, Yahshua. Okay. So it says, and there's going to be a harvest of the good seed, which is the first harvest, 144,000. So at the time that Obama is bringing forth a harvest of tares, that's co-mingled with the wheat in the wheat field, not in the tare field, but in the wheat field. Okay. So now, in John 15:10, it says that, the people of Elohim will not hide their banner, they are not to ignore the commandments of the Yahweh. Now, I'm going to read to you the recording in John 15:10 about these commandments of the Yahweh. Because they're the commandments of the Father and the Son. Because in John 15:10 it says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now that's Yahshua's direct commandment. Okay. Now, when he says, when Yahshua is speaking here himself, it's written in red letters. This is his words. If you keep my commandments, what are his commandments? Well, they're the Ten Commandments, as well as all of the commandments of the sanctuary. The ordinances and the precepts and statutes of the sanctuary. Yahshua is the high priest of the sanctuary, and that's where he's at today, in the sanctuary above, and he's ministering on behalf of the man, fallen mankind on this earth, and all those that meet with him by faith at the early and morning evening sacrifice, which comes at the third hour of the day, which starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, and at 9 o'clock the third hour is over with, and then at the afternoon, at the ninth hour, it starts at 2 o'clock and ends at 3. Okay, that is standard time. That's not daylight savings time. That's just regular time. I stay on regular time here at the kingdom. I don't adjust to world time, because they rob you of an hour of your daylight time. Your shift is 12 hours in a day. But if you adjust your clock according to the world, then you lose 1 hour of the day. Technically, and you really do lose that, the way it works out. So you only get 11 hours. Yahshua says there's 12 hours a day. Work while you have a life. But if the government robs you of 1 hour, then you can only work 11 hours. And so, but if you go by Yahweh's time, you can have your 12 full hours to work. Okay, folks. Let us now go back into our regular reading here, Isaiah the Gospel Prophet by the name of Andreessen. And we're on chapter 5. It's entitled A Song of Praise, The Earth Destroyed, The Fall of Satan. Oh, this is where we're at. This is a lesson scripture, Isaiah 12, 13, 24, verse 14. Okay. The 12th chapter of Isaiah is a song of praise. Now here we are in this 12th chapter. We just read in the 12th chapter of Daniel. We're now in the 12th chapter of Isaiah. And we're in the 12th parabolic hour starting 2002. And actually the 12th parabolic hour started when at 9/11 in 2001, when the Twin Towers were bombed by George Bush and company. Dick Cheney and all them in command of that attack on our Twin Towers. They had prepared that for that destruction of of those Twin Towers. They had prepared that for, it took them a couple of years to get that, all them bombs planted in the right place there so that they could go off in sequence order. And whenever the buildings come down, they would implode upon on themselves. They would implode inside themselves. So, but notice whenever they did that, they waited till at least 300 firemen were on the scene so that they could bury 300 firemen that was there to put the fire out. And that's what they did. They killed 300 firemen that came to those buildings during that initial attack. There in 2001, and they covered up 300 firemen got covered up while fighting that fire. And not only that, but down in the basement of the Twin Towers, just before this destruction of it that morning, the Secret Service with their henchmen went in there and lined up several hundred people there in the basement and shot them down in cold blood. And killed hundreds of them that knew what was going on, and they had to get rid of them. And not only that, but 2 weeks before the destruction of those Twin Towers, they had our gold in vaults, I believe on the 15th floor of the Twin Towers, and they had conveniently moved out all of our gold out of the Twin Towers and move them overseas, or they move them into that underground bunker there under the Hudson River, where they've got $2 billion worth of our Texas gold stored that they won't let us have back here in Texas. And I think that's where they probably stored it. And they took all the gold out of Fort Knox, and they put that all in that underground vault there underneath the Hudson River there, and it's in a think tank is what it is underneath the ground there. So that's what went on then, and that was a sign that was the beginning of the time of trouble of Daniel 12, and Michael stands up to deliver the sign. And another sign that took place at the destruction of the Twin Towers by our government. That was totally an inside job, just like the Murray Building in Oklahoma was the same thing, inside job by our government. And another sign was that there's a sycamore tree that was plucked up by the root, completely blowed out of the ground. And that sycamore tree is nothing but it's an olive tree, is what it is. And so olive tree represents the nation of Israel. I said olive tree. I meant a fig tree. I'm sorry. It's a fig tree. Represents the nation of Israel. Olive tree also represents Israel, but the fig tree represents Israel. So anyway, let's continue our reading now. I would like to, according to Strong Concordance, it says that the sycamore tree translates into the mulberry tree. Okay, so we'll let that stand. We know the mulberry tree is also mentioned in Scripture, but let's go and read now what Psalms 46. Yahweh is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall be made glad, the city of Yahweh, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Elohim is in the midst of her. This is, it says Elohim, God, the translation that we say Yahweh Elohim, but this is a lamb, Yahshua, is also in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Yahshua shall help her in that right early. For the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Yahshua of hosts is with us. The Elohim of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Yahweh, what desolations he hath made in the earth. Now this is what a man read on the steps of the one of our congressmen read on this, or no, a minister that was called to read something after the aftermath of that bombing of the Twin Towers and on the steps of the Capitol. And this is what a minister read. He read Psalms 46. He says, come, behold the works of the Yahweh, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He called it the works of God. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am the Yahweh. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Now the earth in prophecy is the United States. I'd like to point that out. The Yahshua of hosts, of the hosts. Who are the hosts? These are the members of the house of David, including 144,000, this everlasting kingdom of David, that Yahshua is sitting upon the throne of there in Luke 1:31-32. Okay, so he's the host of all of these members of this temple of David. Yahshua of hosts is with us. The Yahweh of Jacob is our refuge. Okay, the Savior of Jacob, in other words, instead of saying God of Jacob, Yahweh the Father, we're saying the Savior, Yahshua of Jacob, is our refuge. Because Yahshua, that angel that wrestled with Jacob all night on his way, when Jacob was returning back to his father's house, when he met his brother on the way, Esau, he wrestled with an angel all night. Who was that angel? That was Yahshua. That was Yahshua, the angel. So it says, Yahshua of hosts is with us. Yahshua of Jacob is our refuge. the Savior. In other words, it's, God is nothing but a pagan title for Baal, so we just transliterate that pagan title to Yeshua, the Messiah, because that's truly what it's talking about here. Said he is the savior of Jacob. Okay, but you say he's a God of Jacob, that's a different. But when you put the correct word in there, the Savior, because Jacob was in consternation that night. His soul was in bitterness. He was in vexation of spirit. His brother was on his way to meet him with 400 men. He was coming to prevent Jacob from going back to his father's house and coming back into Israel. Jacob was in Mesopotamia. Okay, he was on his way back home and trying to get across the border to his father's house, and here comes his brother to meet him. An angel. And Jacob split up his company of animals and servants and his family into two bands. And he said, well, maybe he won't destroy us all if he comes and lights on one band, you know. So Jacob, all of a sudden, something grabbed him by the shoulder, and he turned around and grabbed a hold of it. And it was an angel, and he wrestled with that angel all night. And he prevailed. That angel was Yahshua. Okay, so this is what the preacher read on the steps right after 9/11 in 2001 took place. He read that on the steps of the Washington, D.C. He said, come and, verse 8, Psalms 46, it says, come, behold the works of the Yahweh, what desolations he hath made in the earth. Well, the news media didn't like to have to print that, because he was saying that Yahweh, through his son, caused this desolation to take place, and I believe he did. But those evil men that prepared those twin towers for destruction, they intended to wipe out those three towers. There's a third one that wasn't even bombed. It didn't have any explosions in it. They went ahead and leveled it to the ground. They already had explosives planted in it too, even though it wasn't touched by what they call the airplane. They went ahead and destroyed the third building anyway. What was in that third building? 200 years of archive information about the birth of our country and all the Secret Service work that had been done for the last 200 years was in that building. Over 200 years. And they took that information out of that building. When they blew up that third building, they took it and they put it on a ship, and they let foreigners come in, a salvage crew come in, foreigners. And they loaded all that debris up on a ship and took it out in the ocean 200 miles, and they buried it 2 miles to 3 miles deep into the ocean. Okay. So, there's a lot of secret stuff kept there that they didn't want the world to find out one day. So the enemy took it and destroyed it and had it buried in the ocean. And Yahweh knows what was in it. There's some records kept up there somewhere, some backup records somewhere, no doubt. This brings in verse 30 to our contact. That's at the 11th hour call. I'm going to close this service now with a song that I have written back in 1998. Entitled, Draw Me Now, Holy Spirit. Oh, often I've drifted, that's the pleasure that deserves running home. Many times the Spirit tried to draw me, and so many times I would not give you. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, draw me. I'm ready, for my heart is filled with joy. All the pleasures of the world are behind me. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, make me whole. Many times each step that every day brought me pain. But now I'm rejoicing, I'm so happy, because I'm now called by His name. Call me now, Holy Spirit, call me. I'm ready for my heart to serve and join. All the pleasures of the world are far behind me. Call me now, Holy Spirit, make me whole. Oftentimes in this world I've been burdened by the cares of this life and the sin. Then one day an amazing thing happened. By God's grace, I was healed from within. Call me now, Holy Spirit, call me. I'm ready for my heart is filled with joy. All the pleasures of this world are behind me. Call me now, Holy Spirit, make me whole. Call me now, Holy Spirit, make me whole.